Together, amen. It's such a privilege. Before we read the text, let me give you a brief introduction. Again, Elisha Cho is my name, but I have a picture of my family on the slide, and if that can come up, that'd be great. I have a wife. Her name is Sarah. No slide today. That's okay. No problem at all. her name is Sarah, and she is a beautiful, beautiful wife of 7 years, and she is the better half. And she's currently studying to become a licensed psychologist, so she's doing some doctoral work. She's about halfway through, so she's studying really hard. But on top of that, we have a son named Leo, and he's 3. So that's another handful. But by God's grace, we are serving the Lord in Danvers, loving our people. We love our people. We love God, and we love people. And it's such a joy to be able to minister together. Well, talking about ministering together, about 6 months ago, Pastor Gene and I had the opportunity to minister together at a great place called Panera Bread, just down the street. And we got a call from someone who said there's a single mom of 3 children, but they're about to be evicted from their apartment. So Pastor Gene, can you help us? Pastor Elisha, can you help us? So both of us collaborated, and we met this young mom at Panera Bread. So we talked and we shared stories, and she was able to tell us that she's in a very financial difficulty, and because of that, they're going to be evicted in a couple of days. So Pastor Gene, we love Pastor Gene. He's an awesome leader and a preacher of the gospel. He was able to counsel her with really wise counsel, godly counsel. And then she was able to be relieved that there is a way for you. There's a way. And we collaborated to help, and we promised to help. But not only that, Pastor Gene was able to share the gospel with this lady. And me, just besides Pastor Gene, I was just, yes, that's right. What he's saying, that's right. That's right. And at the end of the conversation, I was able to say that just down the road from Panera Bread is Living Hope Church. And I really want you to go there on a Sunday or any other day. They have a food pantry. It's a wonderful church. And as I was evangelizing, I was doing a good thing, right? To invite more people to your church. She said to me and to Pastor Gene, with a very serious look on her face, she said, "Can a person like me come to church?" She said, "Can a person like me come to church?" We know the answer, because people like us have been invited into the Church of Jesus Christ. And today my message is entitled Ugly Church. Everyone say ugly church. We'll find out more what that means as I read God's text. Would you rise with me as I read the word of God this morning? Mark chapter 2, verse 13 to 17. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may take a seat. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for your Holy Spirit, who illuminates our hearts to understand and know and receive your word this morning. We know that without your Spirit, we cannot understand your word. So we pray now in the name of Jesus that you illuminate all of our hearts in this room, and for those who are watching online, that we would hear from heaven, that we would hear a sound, a voice that we would hear clear communication from your word so that it would revolutionize our way of thinking, our way of living, that we would be transformed into the image of Jesus as we come close to your word. So, Father, we pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can a person like me come to church? It begs the question, is the Church of Jesus Christ becoming too pretty? We target those who have nice clothing and who have a house and maybe houses and cars and good jobs, and they look good on the outside. Maybe we are targeting them. Maybe the Church of Jesus Christ was not designed for only those people. We love those with houses and cars. Of course we do. But what about the broken people? What about the ostracized people? What about those who have no home? What about those who haven't had any breakfast because they didn't have the means to? The Church of Jesus Christ has been designed so that all people may come to the knowledge of Him, to be invited in. Wouldn't you say that you've been invited into that kind of community at Living Hope? That loving, embracing community? We find Jesus in the book of Mark this morning. He's doing His ministry. We understand that He has a preaching ministry. He also has a deliverance ministry. He also has healing ministries. And we believe in all that. Amen? We believe in the name of Jesus. We believe the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that continues to deliver us from the evil one, continues to heal us from our past experiences of hurt, that continues to save us towards sanctification, to become more like Jesus every day. That's the power in the name of Jesus. And in His ministry, today we find Him calling a disciple. And his name is Levi. And in Matthew, we find that his name is Matthew. So we kind of think that Levi and Matthew are the same people. Jesus is walking along. And the first point I want to share with you is this, that Jesus sees Levi. Now you might think, oh, Pastor Elisha, isn't that such a simple thing? If Jesus is walking, obviously his eyes are open and he's looking around. But how many times have you felt like someone that did not exist? Someone that just was by the wayside. They didn't give you a time of day. They just walked past you instead of saying, hi, I'm Elisha. But Jesus, as he walked, he was able to see this person. His name is Levi, son of Alphaeus, and we know that he's a tax collector. How many of you know what tax collectors are like in the ancient Near East? They weren't very That kind of explains it, right? The silence. They were looked down upon by the religious people because tax collectors were like people who would just scrummage more money. Let's say Levi was sitting at a toll booth. Anyone driven by a toll booth before? So you're driving by and Levi is sitting there and it says $1 to pass. But Levi says $4, please. And you say, sir, it says $1 to pass. How did that amount to $4? And Levi says, my rules. If you don't pay up, you're not going to pass. So what do? You pay the $4. What does Levi do? He gives the Roman Empire the dollar and he keeps how much? Do you think he became rich? How many people comes by and he just continues to collect those taxes? So people look down on him. But Levi, this was his job. I think he enjoyed it. He enjoyed earning a lot of money, even if his own people would kind of look down on him and didn't like him at all. And yet, this person, Levi, is noticed by who? By Jesus himself. Many a times when I see our congregation, I say, I see you. Hi, Otonye, I see you. And it's good to be seen. Do you know how it feels for Levi to be seen, probably for the first time, to be appreciated, maybe for the first time in his life, that he's not the scum of the earth, but now he's somebody that's human, that has a name, and Jesus sees him. The second point I want to share with you is this, that Jesus not only sees Levi, but Jesus invites Levi. Okay. So Jesus is walking and he sees Levi and he invites him. What does Jesus invite Levi to? Well, in the text, it says what? Follow me. Follow me, Levi. That's an invitation, isn't it? That's an invitation. It's kind of strong because he didn't add please, right? But follow me is an invitation. And Levi is invited in to fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. Hold on. Levi is still a sinner, right? Has he gone to the altar and repented of his sins? What happened? Jesus calls him anyway. Jesus invites him anyway. Let me turn that around. What about the people out there that are living in sin and brokenness and harm? What about the people who are addicted to alcohol and addicted to whatever substance, people who are living lifestyles that are not according to the word of God? What do we do with them? Do you see them? Will you invite them? Will you invite them to church? Moreover, would you invite them into your home? Jesus not only invites Levi to following him, and Levi, by the way, drops everything immediately and follows Jesus. And I think we can learn from that. When God speaks, we listen, drop everything, follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Levi decides to follow Jesus. He drops everything. Now, there were other disciples that Jesus called, but they could have always gone back to their trade. Let's say Peter, who was a fisherman, right? If Peter wanted to go back to his old ways, he could have done that easily, right? But Levi, he left his job. It's like Levi was a CEO, okay? And then he decides to follow Jesus, right? And then he says, maybe I'll go back to my old job. There's nothing like it. There's no more job for you. Your job is taken. There's nowhere else to go. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. It's a decision that we make and we say yes to and we continue to follow. Are you continuously following Jesus this morning? Or do you feel like, yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for the last decade or two. I've ran out of steam a little bit. Let me assure you that Jesus' seeing is ongoing today. He sees you. Where you are, he sees you, he locks eyes with you, and he sees deep into your spirit person. Not only that, he continues to invite you to follow me, follow him, follow Jesus, follow his ways. And the third thing, which I love, is that Jesus ate with Levi. How many of you like to eat? If you have not raised your hand, you're raising it in your heart. We all like to eat. When you sit on a table with your family, your friends, your loved ones, there's a joy. When you come around the table, there is a joy because we are all equal. We all have access to the same food that's on the table. And Jesus, he eats with Levi, but not only with Levi, but in Levi's house, there are more people. Let's look in the text. Who's there? Verse 15. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many, not a couple, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. That's wonderful, isn't it? To have all of these people sitting together, eating together, sharing that moment of intimacy, and it's basically relationship. Jesus wants relationship. Isn't that true? How's your relationship with Jesus this morning? Do you sense that it's really strong and it's going on well? Or do you feel a little bit discouraged this morning because life doesn't pan out the way that you thought? Maybe you have relational difficulties or financial difficulties, or you don't know if you're going to have your job in the next month or so. And yet, Jesus continues to see you, continues to invite you, and to his table. And he says, my son, my daughter, I am for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are mine and I am yours. Will you abide in me as I abide in you? And therefore you will bear much fruit, as John 15 says. Jesus sees you. Jesus invites you to follow him. And Jesus is willing to eat with Levi and sinners and tax collectors. Does that sound good? For me, I think that's a glorious picture of the Church of Jesus Christ, that we all come together. How many of you have experienced potluck fellowship? I love it. In Korea, we don't have that. But in New England, you have it. So for me, potluck fellowship is a wonderful time of just getting together around a table and being able to fellowship with Jesus, with one another. But then there are always people who look down upon what Jesus does, and let's find them in verse 16. Look with me, verse 16. When the teachers of the law who were Pharisees saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples. Can you see that? The Pharisees didn't ask Jesus. Ask their disciples. Ask them. Why does he, that Jesus man, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why does he do that? Well, let me explain to you a little bit about the Pharisees. They get a bad reputation. But by the way, Pharisees were upright people. They were teachers of the law. They wanted to abide the law. And if you just follow the descendants of the Pharisees, it'll be like the Jews that are Orthodox of nowadays. Very put together, always dressed in their black and attire. They want to follow the rules and they want to dot the I's and cross the T's, and they want to do everything by the book. There's nothing wrong with going by the book, by the way, because they are following truth. But as Paul writes in Ephesians, and as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, we need to speak the truth in what? In love. And we find that the Pharisees are labeling these sinners. Oh, those prostitutes or strippers or tax collectors or those just dirty people. Get them away from me. I found this interesting in my study. Pharisee means separated. So they would separate themselves from dirty people like them, label them as prostitutes, tax collectors, whatever, label them. They dehumanize people and label them and judge them. They had truth, but they had no love. And yet Jesus, in his truth and in his mercy and in his love, what does he do for Levi? He sees Levi, he invites Levi, and he dines with Levi and all of these people who were downtrodden, who had no voice, who were ostracized, broken people. And that's what I love about Jesus, that he would welcome a sinner like me into his kingdom, that he would forgive me of my sins through his blood and sacrifice on the cross, that he would not only save me, but he would call me to be a mouthpiece for him. That's amazing grace. That's why we sang Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And if Levi were living today, he would probably sing the same thing, and he would have tears coming out of his eyes and maybe a little bit of water coming out of his nostrils, you know, and just say, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Do you remember the first time you believed? Do you remember? How's your first love this morning? Your love for Jesus, your passion for him, your zeal for him. Oh, Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see and bring us back to that moment, and that relationship will just be fueled by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And in verse 17, Jesus finally responds, and I love this. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor. If you're healthy, do you go to the doctors? No. You stay home. You cook, you dine, and you play, you enjoy your family. But Jesus says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. There's a big contrast between Jesus and the Pharisees in this text. Jesus is the one who notices the tax collector Levi, invites him and dines with him. And then the Pharisees, who are the separate ones, who think they are abiding by the law and living by it, they look down on Levi and his friends and tax collectors and sinners, and they separate themselves from whom God loves. So this is the question. Are we willing to come near to those who are suffering in sin, being bound by addiction? Are we open-hearted enough to let the love of Christ come through us and speak the truth in love? Or are we going to be like the Pharisees who, you just stay over there in your zip code, right there, and I'll stay in my nice little zip code over here. How about you just stay over there so that you don't influence my kids? How about you just stay way over there so that I don't have to smell your cultural ethnic food? How about we just separate? You be your island, I'll be mine. Oh, how God's heart breaks. Because listen, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. That means Jesus, rightly so, in heaven, he left that behind to come to move to a zip code where you and I live 2,000 some years ago so that we could have access to forgiveness, freedom and liberty and everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus. Am I the only one that's getting excited in this house? Jesus. Where's your cross? It's somewhere behind me. Yes, the cross of Jesus. Oh, how we love the cross of Jesus. You see, it's like this. We know that Jesus died for us on the cross, amen? And it's like this. It's as if Jesus was holding all humanity, fallen, sinful humanity in one hand. And he's holding on to the Holy God, God the Father on the other. And through his sacrifice, through his blood, through his life, he reconciles sinful human beings to a holy God through the finished work on the cross. Hallelujah! So the death that I deserve, the death that you deserve, you don't have to die. Because Jesus says, I've taken your place. And he has reconciled sinful man with a holy God and thereabouts brings relationship. And that brings us to the table of Jesus Christ. So if God has done that for us through Jesus Christ, then what is stopping us from coming close to Levi, tax collectors, prostitutes, strippers, addicts, homeless people, maybe those people who just don't smell like you, maybe they don't have same color skin like you? What would it look like for the Church of Jesus Christ to become ugly church, where everyone is welcomed, where everyone is invited to the table, where everyone is invited to the love and embrace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they hear the message of forgiveness? And of course, there has to be repentance. There has to be a turning away from sin and coming back to Jesus. Yes. But if they have no access to you, if they have no proximity to the church and Christians and Christ followers like us, how will they ever know? I'm just, no, I'm not mad at you. I'm just very passionate. Jesus not only sees Levi, he calls him and invites him to follow him, and he invites him to the table. And I believe that all of us need to recognize our own ugliness this morning by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. If you have any hidden sin in your life today, today's the day to come back to Jesus and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. I know what you did for me on the cross. I believe it. But my lifestyle does not give you glory. We must repent. So you might be thinking, what's the application for today, Pastor Elisha? What's the application? Well, it's very simple. Do what Jesus did. Let's say together, do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? He sees Levi. So do you see someone in your neighborhood, in your family who needs Jesus? Someone who's broken and hurting? See them. Notice them. Begin to pray for them. And then what do? As Jesus did. You invite them. And if they feel like, oh, Elisha, I don't know if going to church is a good thing for me. I met this gentleman in Danvers, and I invited him to church one day, and he said to me, well, Pastor, thank you for the invitation, but if I go into your church building, the roof is going to collapse, so I can't go. To which I responded, sir, we have a brand new roof. You don't have to worry. But if they feel uncomfortable coming to a church service, into a church building, then you can invite them out for coffee at Panera Bread or Dunkin' Donuts, or if you have a lot of money, Starbucks is a good place too. Invite them out, hear their story, hear their heart, and share your story with them. And then the third step is to invite them to the table. It could be in your homes, or it could be outside, but you have a meal with them. Share that time of relating with them, hearing them, seeing them, inviting them. Do you see that all of this continues to bring about that theme of relationship? And as we continue to do that, the Church of Jesus Christ will continue to get ugly. And that's okay. Why? Because Christ is beautiful to the nth degree. Whatever ugliness we bring to him, he can purify that. He can sanctify that. We preach a message of holiness, don't we? When Jesus touched the leper, did the leprosy come to Jesus? Or the healing of Jesus and life go to the leper? Yes, Jesus touched the leper and they were healed. Likewise, we have Jesus in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides within our hearts and minds. So we go close to people and we don't have to be afraid what will come to us. The devil is afraid of what will happen because they must leave in the name of Jesus. So I challenge you, why not ugly church? Why not see people and invite them? Why not invite them to the table? Why not invite them into your homes? And you might be thinking, oh, Pastor Elisha, that's a fair point you make, but that was Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's our Savior. He knows everything. He's different than who I am. Well, let me propose to you today, for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, can you raise your hand this morning? For those who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, amen, amen, thank you, thank you. We are called to be little Christs on this planet. That's our mission. What does that mean? Well, we embrace the power of the Holy Spirit, and we understand that it's not our power, our will, or our minds, but it's through His power, through His wisdom, that we can begin to reach out and connect with people. So the application today for Ugly Church is this: let us do what Jesus did. So an ugly church might look like this. Let me just give you a couple of examples that you can think about. Ministries that look like this. Giving food to the hungry. Living Hope does that well. You have a food pantry. You're doing a great job. Continue that mission. What about giving a ride home for strippers at 3 a.m. in the morning? By the way, there's a Christian ministry that gives rides to strippers. And some of you are feeling uncomfortable already. I can see it in your eyes. What about loving families influenced by incarceration, people that are in prison, their families? What about loving families influenced by addiction, abuse, mental health, caring for the homeless? What about people that have lost loved ones, grief care? At the end of the day, the question that the single mom asked me and Pastor Gene that day 6 months ago at Panera Bread was not just, can a person like me come to church? The heart of the question was this: can a person like me come to Jesus, and will Jesus accept me? And all of us, by God's grace, have accepted that invitation Jesus gives not only to Levi and to his disciples, but to us today, to come, follow me, deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. And if that is our testimony, then I believe our churches, not only Living Hope, but Danvers Church of the Nazarene and many other churches around this area, will become ugly churches, because God is the one who makes the church beautiful. And our job is to invite those into the kingdom. Come to the banquet. God's the one who's going to deal with them with the sin, not you. Perhaps we are the ones who proclaim the truth in love, yes. But God's the one who changes hearts. So let us be more like Jesus in seeing people, in inviting people, and welcoming them to the table. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for the word that you have given us today, and our hearts are humbled. And if there is anything in our hearts that needs to be confessed, that needs to be overthrown, that needs to be placed in the rubbish bin, we pray that you would help us do that now in the name of Jesus. That we would not label people or dehumanize people, but we would love them as you love them, full stop. And as we continue to love them with grace and tender mercy, may your Holy Spirit convict them of their sins. May they come to repentance in you, O God, and may they walk a life of holiness before you, God, because we serve a holy and a righteous God. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to transform our hearts to become more Christ-like in a broken world that needs your hope, your joy, and your everlasting life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.